From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, The Complete Success of Christ's Saving Work, the 11th in a series of studies in the book of Joshua. The text is chapter 3, verse 17, the concluding verse of the account of the children of Israel passing over the Jordan on dry ground as the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant stood in the midst of the river. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns has been calling attention to the truth that Christ had a clear purpose of salvation for all His people when He died on the cross. God had promised Joshua that He would bring all the people safely into the Promised Land. If one had been left behind, God's purpose would have failed. So Christ will have all of His people. To accomplish God's purpose, the Lord Jesus undertook a great task. And as Dr. Cairns has emphasized, Christ succeeds in His purpose because His work is perfectly adapted to achieve its purpose. Ungodly men have always ridiculed the idea of Christ's vicarious atonement. But as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Before Dr. Cairns resumes the message, here is a devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in John chapter 16 and verse 32. Ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Few had fellowship with the sorrows of Gethsemane. The majority of the disciples were not sufficiently advanced in grace to be admitted to behold the mysteries of the agony. Occupied with a Passover feast at their own houses, they represent the many who live upon the letter, but are mere babes as to the spirit of the gospel. To 12, nay, to 11 only, was the privilege given to enter Gethsemane and see this great sight. Out of the 11, 8 were left at a distance. They had fellowship, but not of that intimate sort to which men greatly beloved are admitted. Only 3 highly favored ones could approach the veil of our Lord's mysterious sorrow. Within that veil, even these must not intrude. A stone's cast distance must be left between. He must tread the winepress alone, and of the people there must be none with him. Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee represent the few eminent, experienced saints who may be written down as fathers. These, having done business on great waters, can in some degree measure the huge Atlantic waves of their Redeemer's passion. To some selected spirits it is given for the good of others, and to strengthen them for future special and tremendous conflict, to enter the inner circle and hear the pleadings of the suffering High Priest. They have fellowship with Him in His sufferings, and are made conformable unto His death. Yet even these cannot penetrate the secret places of the Savior's woe. Thine unknown sufferings is the remarkable expression of the Greek liturgy. There was an inner chamber in our Master's grief, shut out from human knowledge and fellowship. There Jesus is left alone. Here Jesus was more than ever an unspeakable gift. Is not Watts right when he sings, "And all the unknown joys he gives were bought with agonies unknown."
So
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the programs, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Does God practice deliberate deception? Or why doesn't God save everybody? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
the Lord Jesus undertook to do everything that was needful to save the people upon whom he had laid hold with that mighty purpose of saving grace. So he had a purpose of full salvation for all his people. To accomplish that purpose, he has undertaken a great task. The third thing, therefore, arising out of that is that he succeeds in his purpose because his work was perfectly adapted as a means to achieve it. Now let that sink in. The success of the purpose of Jesus Christ does not depend on anything outside of Christ. The success of the purpose of Jesus Christ is guaranteed by the fact that the means he took to achieve his purpose were perfectly adapted to that end. Look at Joshua 3:17 again. The priests standing in the Jordan were God's perfect means of stemming the waters of Jordan and causing a passage in safety over. That was God's way of doing it. Now, immediately you've got to see, that's not the way man would have done it. Could he have done it at all? That's not the way he'd have gone about it. In fact, if you had gone to the people of Jericho, who were waiting on the other side for the invasion of the Israelites, in great fear and trembling, if you had gone to them, had they never heard of the Red Sea, that's a very important proviso because they had heard of it. But had they never heard of the Red Sea, had you gone to the people of Jericho and said, oh, by the way, there's an army over there, the Jordan's in flood, it's impassable, but there's a bunch of priests going to take an ark, and they're going to stand in the waters, and they hope that it's going to dry up the whole river, and that the people will pass over safely. What do you think the response would have been? They'd have laughed you to scorn. What? That'll never do it. God's ways are never man's ways. And especially in the matter of salvation, God's way of procuring salvation is never the way that appeals to the mind and wisdom of man. The wisdom of God appears to be folly. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about the preaching of the cross as foolishness to the Greeks, who were noted for their wisdom. When the Apostle Paul was in Athens, they called him a babbler. What will this babbler say? And when this babbler started to talk about a Christ who died and who rose again, they thought he was a madman. When Festus, the Roman governor, heard the same thing, he couldn't hold himself back. He broke into Paul's speech and he said, Paul, much learning doth make thee mad. Priest standing in a river to stem the flood. Priest going, just put it in your own language, think of it in your own country. Priest striding into the Mississippi and they're going to stop the entire flow. It'll never work. But that was God's way and it did work. That means it's perfectly adapted to God's end. And so it is with the work of Christ. Men hate the thought of the vicarious or substitutionary work of our Savior standing in under the wrath of God at Calvary. They hate that. Theological professors for centuries. Not all of them, thank God, but theological professors for centuries have been poisoning the minds of students for the ministry with their vitriolic hatred of this truth. And they have been constantly pounding away on the same old theme of unbelief that The whole idea of the imputation of guilt or righteousness is impossible. It's impossible. One of the professors of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland had the great reputation of being one of the world's greatest Greek scholars in the 1920s to the 1950s. No one could gainsay his Greek scholarship. But you could gainsay his spiritual insight. He constantly taught his pupils, his scholars, ruined a whole generation of Presbyterian ministers. He constantly taught them that this doctrine of imputed sin and imputed righteousness is just a Protestant version of the Roman Catholic theory of transubstantiation. Oh, how men hate God's way of saving sinners. But I want to tell you, the cross is God's wisdom, and the cross is God's power. And I would rather have that which makes sense to God than follow the vaporings of the depraved mind of the greatest unsaved theologian in the world. I would rather trust myself to the apparent failure of God's power, because that's how men look at the cross. It's a weak thing. I'd rather trust myself to that than to any arm of man. When you go to Scripture, you find that God brings two things together only through Christ. Let me give you an example. In Psalm 85, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Don't skip over those words. Stop for a little minute. Let them sink in. Mercy and truth. How can those things come together? Truth exposes our rottenness and all its wickedness. Truth shows just how depraved we are. Truth shows the innermost hatred of our hearts toward our God and His Christ. So how can there be mercy from a God who loves truth? How can there be mercy? Righteousness and peace. Righteousness, rectitude that fulfills every standard and statement of the law of God. How can it be at peace with sinners who break every standard and statement of the law of God? To use the language of Romans 3:26, how can God be just and yet justify sinners? How can God stand in His integrity, not compromise His truth, not compromise His uprightness, His righteousness, His, and yet show mercy and justify sinners? How can He do it? I want to tell you, the religions of men always, always answer that question by robbing God of His deity. The religions of men always answer that question by denying the perfection of God. They make His perfection something that can be at home with imperfection and can ultimately embrace sin. That's the religion of man. Doesn't matter what you call it, whether it's Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Roman Catholicism, apostate Protestantism, Unitarianism, doesn't matter what you call it, it always comes up with one basic answer. But the answer of God's Word is very different. The answer of God's Word is the cross. It's the finished work of Jesus Christ. In Romans 3, to go back to there, verse 25, God set Him forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare what? His righteousness, that God might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Christ finished his work, a work that was perfectly adapted to the end of accomplishing the salvation of every one for whom he acted. And therefore, their salvation is certain. The Lord Jesus said, John 17:5, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. In John 19:30, he cried, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. Now, on that basis, follow me carefully here. On that basis, the Lord Jesus claimed heaven for his people. John 17:5 again, I have finished the work. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. I have finished the work, therefore, I will that these people, for whom I have acted in that work, will be in heaven. And so the Word of God states God's assurance of salvation to us on the sole merits of Christ's atonement. What does he say in Exodus 12:13? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The sword of vengeance will not touch you. The angel of death and damnation will not bring you down. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Do you see the absolute connection? The finished work, the shed blood applied to the heart. The assurance of salvation. Job 33:24 has a little part of a passage that I preached on some years ago, and it's a passage that always blesses my own heart. Deliver him from going down to the pit. Why? I have found a ransom. There is the announcement of God to heaven, earth, and hell. Deliver him from going down to the pit. For I have found the ransom. I've seen the blood. I've received the finished work. And that's why again and again we read in the New Testament about Christ that he is able. Hebrews 7:25, he's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. In Hebrews 2:18, he's able to succor his people. In 2 Timothy 1:12, he is able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. In Jude 24, he's able to keep us and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. In Philippians 3:21, he'll change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working of his power, whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He is able. He is able. He is able. That's the constant message of Scripture. What's the basis of it? Because the means he took to achieve his purpose were perfectly adapted to that end.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.